Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast again. It's nice to hear that all of you are back again. And it's amazing that we have this opportunity just to go through God's Word. Just wanted to remind you that if you have any questions and comments, that you can get in touch with us at 954-388-8780. Remember, you can always go to plantationsda.tv with any questions and comments that you might have. And this Sabbath, we had a very special Sabbath. I haven't seen it. I have to say, I haven't actually seen it at all, or even for a while, which was actually merged, the ministry merged, but it's young adult ministry that we have within the church, geared specifically to young adults, and I'm not part of that at all, but it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry that I've watched grow over the years to something that's so amazing right now. They were able to take over the whole service, and I thought that was so good that we had the opportunity to allow them to do so. I just wanted to give a shout out to Merge for the wonderful work that they're doing, especially to the leadership team, Charmaine Johnson Wilson, Michael Nicholas, Londell Albury, Alicia Henry, and Otna Dorno, and I hope I said that right. And they are doing an excellent job, as I keep saying. They started small. I remember when they started small, they had like a few people meeting in the fellowship hall. And now I know it's a whole group of them now doing so many different activities. And they were able to lead out this Sabbath. And we had a guest speaker. And our guest speaker for the day was Adrian Murray. Do I call you Pastor Adrian Murray? I don't even know. It's a chaplain.
It kind of, for me, it kind of all merges together.
It does, right? So welcome. Thank you so much for gracing us at Plantation. It's awesome. I have known you for a little while. You probably don't know me as well as you know my husband, but we've known you for a little while over there in Mount Olivet, and your brothers and everything. So yeah, it's great to see the work that you're doing. Powerful sermon, by the way. So just before we start going into the sermon, I'd just like to say a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you so much for all that you continue to do for us. We ask now, God, that as we go through your word, your message, that you'll just bring us into the light of the things that you really want us to discuss, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so was your title connected to the theme? Was that the theme for Merge? The building people for the kingdom while building people for success? Was that the theme that they gave you?
Yeah, the theme they sent was building for the kingdom while building for success. And then I just attached the battle between A and B as like a sub.
As a subtitle, yeah. So why the battle between A and B? How did you come up with just that title?
It was based on the premise of how the sermon was aired, in the sense that we basically just exegeted the theme.
I know. I heard you say exegesis, and I've had to do that last year, and it felt me with absolute horror, because I was like, oh my goodness, it's come back again. That's the hardest thing to do. I just have so much respect for you guys. You have to go and do this, and even do it in Greek and Hebrew. It's like, wow.
Yes.
It's crazy. So breakdown of it. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
It was just a touch of that. We didn't get as involved as you can get in it, but yeah, you know, just taking the theme, the idea that the Spirit of God gave me was just to use that almost as a simple but complex tool to broaden the topic, and discovering that we had two phrases, an A phrase or A clause. Mm-hmm. And a B clause, and that's where the battle, that's where that second title came in, that there's the battle between the A clause of the theme and the B clause of the theme, and we kind of fleshed that out throughout the day.
Okay, so I'm going to start with when you started to break down the whole of the theme and trying to see all the different parts of it, because I was thinking you were going to do it straight on the on your scripture for Matthew 6, 33. But I was wondering, why did you choose to do it on theme as opposed to do it on the scripture?
Well, where I wanted to land was on the scripture, and that's where we pulled the inspiration and the revelation from, was, you know, when we see that tension between I'm trying to build for the kingdom and trying to be successful. And oftentimes you start figuring out that, you know, there's a stress level that comes up, a tension that comes up when you're trying to do something for God and then do something on earth that is good and successful. And all of that led to Matthew 6:33, where we found resolution there. So I didn't want to give it away too early. I didn't want to start, you know, I wanted to end there, kind of build attention to get to the revelation that Jesus shared with his disciples then and with us now.
Okay. So let's start on the first section, building for the kingdom. I like the way that you were able to just, you know, break down that whole, what is the kingdom and what does it mean to us, etc. But what I wanted to ask you is, you see the lives that we all live today, and the fact of building for the kingdom is like, you know, why do we not think about that as we go through our daily life? Why is that such an afterthought? Why are we not? I mean, especially we're in the church. Shouldn't that be the focus of our lives all the time? Why is it not a focus of our lives?
I think we are just captives of reality, of the moment, of the things that are carnal, the natural realm of life. I mean, we have lives, we have families, we have jobs, we have aspirations, desires. We have media in whatever form that pulls us into the cultural norms that we experience, and then the things that we desire out of those cultural norms. We, you know, so there's so much in life that is on the natural plane that we want to live in, we want to experience. And not to say that they're evil or sin. It's just we're in this world, we live in this world, there's tangible things that we experience and encounter. And it starts pulling us away from a greater, more revelation of there's something beyond the natural. There's a spiritual aspect of life. The kingdom, you know, there's the kingdom principles that God instituted through Christ that is more important than the natural. But because we are overwhelmed with just the natural elements of life, it's not something that shows up on our radar all the time. And I'll just speak for me. It doesn't always show up on my radar unless I continue to daily make it a priority. And so that's that, the idea of touching on that in that first clause of if we're building for the kingdom, then these are the things that are non-negotiable. We have to have every aspect of the word, the principles of God, altruism, care, grace, forgiveness, all of these things. It's huge, but it's what we need if we're going to build for the kingdom. And if it's not made a priority, it'll slip through the cracks. It'll become a second thought. It'll become something that is a hobby and not a priority. And so for the Christian who's desiring to do the will of God, to walk in his will and his way and build the kingdom, this has to be the first priority for everyone. however it looks for each individual, it has to be priority to stay connected to God and the kingdom.
So is there something wrong with just going for the successful life of making sure that you have, you move up the corporate ladder, or you have the house, the car, the whatever it is, the life that you consider to be successful? Is there something wrong with doing that and still maintaining, saying that, you know, I serve God?
Absolutely not. You know, I believe, I honestly believe, even when I was in study with this message, I believe that God wants kingdom believers to be in management, to be in corporate businesses, to be in government, to have small businesses, to be teachers and principals and APs. And I believe that if God had it his way and there was no kickback when it comes to the principalities of evil and just the nuances of humanity and sin, you know, God would have us in those positions so that his principles, his will, the things that he desires, he would have planted in every facet of our institutions and government, and neighborhoods, people who are upholding the standard, you know. So I don't see anything wrong with someone wanting to be successful and be a person who's a business owner and holds the principles of God and believes in God. You know, I believe God signs off on that. I think the issue comes in is that when there is power, when there's money, when there's prestige, when there's something to gain in this world, the struggle can be, how do I cognitively prioritize who got me there, how I got there, the reason why I'm there, and having the spiritual mindset to say, God planted me in Coca-Cola to be in management. God planted me in Comcast, to in theater and movies to start putting together some better programming in the music industry to push against the agendas of music that promotes certain things when there should be, you know. So I believe that, you know, God can plan and see people in those areas, but it's again, you know, it's success and it's the taste of what can be there and negating the true sense of who got you there, why you're there, and what's the main priority.
I was touched by your testimony about going to school, because that's currently what I'm doing right now. But the fact that you wanted to make everybody proud, especially your parents, make them proud of everything that you're going to be doing. And so with that premise, you went forth in order to make sure that, you know, I'm going to get A's, I'm going to get straight A's. And so you gave your all to it. How do we have that balance when we go to school saying, well, we're doing what God has asked us to do, but, you know, I still want to get my A. I still want to do really well. How do we know that God is really, truly leading us and we're not the one orchestrating everything to make sure that we're successful?
That's where I believe the relationship you have with God, understanding or getting to know his voice, getting to hear his voice. And that's an element of building of the kingdom is sitting in the presence of God. Is the person who is challenged by that, are we spending that time to hear, yes, this is where you are, or you feel that tension of, this is where I don't want you to be, and you're hearing from God in that way. You know, that's my experience. It may be different for others, but I know when I give myself to hearing from God, getting in space where I push away the distractions, I can meditate, I can hear, and be satisfied in the yes or satisfied in the no, satisfied in go left, satisfied in go right, satisfied in I close this door that you wanted to go in and you keep pushing against to get through. I want you to go over here.
Right.
You know, being satisfied to say in your presence to hear those things. That way I don't get flustered when I'm in situations that aren't going my way because I know God is leading me where I need to be. So, you know, I believe that relationship with God quells some of the, you know, the nuances in, should I do this? Am I doing this right? Or should I be over here? Because when you know God has told you to do something, if it's going to school, if it's answering a call, when you know that God is, it has done or opened the door for you or called you to do something, there's that confidence, even if you're nervous, even if you don't have money, even if you don't know what, there's a confidence to say, I feel you calling me to do this. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, how you tell me to do it, where I'm going to follow you. And there's a confidence in it. And you can be assured he's going to take care of you when you know I'm hearing from you and I'm following what you tell me to do.
How do you tap into knowing what God's voice sounds like?
Pardon?
How do you tap into knowing what God's voice sounds like?
By testing what you hear in reference to the Word of God. So a level of hearing God's Word as you meditate with him is also knowing the Word of God. Oftentimes in that prayer, it should be coupled with the Word. It should be coupled with getting into the Psalms and the Proverbs and the Gospels. What did Jesus do? What did he say? Just spending time in the Word. What does the Word of the God say, the Bible, the literal Bible say? And then in my prayer, hear from the Word of God. And there's just something that can't be explained from my perspective. Maybe you can speak to another pastor or someone else, spiritual leader, who can articulate it better than I. There's something within me that there's just that affirmation, there's that confirmation from God when I know I'm hearing from him or things are working in a way that I know it's God. There's no other way to call it. That's God.
Yeah.
And it's lining up with the Word. I'm confident that I'm hearing from you because it's lining up. You're not asking me to do anything that goes against my core beliefs in you, God. Mm-hmm. I know it's lining up in the Word. Mm-hmm. You're telling me to say things, or I'm saying things that I know wasn't birthed out of my own conscience. Mm-hmm. It was you seeding it in me. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what you tell me to do, and I'm understanding your Word because I'm in the Word itself.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to when you actually got to Matthew 6, you started going through the character of God, the way that he was mingling with people, and he was you said, dropping new truths on people, allowing them to really be sitting there to think. How important do you think it is for us to analyze the way that Jesus was here on this earth?
It's paramount. I'm not sure if we all truly get the radical nature of Christ. What his message was and how people saw it when he was on earth, because it's coming out of an ancient text, we feel, okay, this is an old, this is old text, old experience. But at their time in the Greco-Roman world, all that they were experiencing at that time, what Jesus was saying and how he was saying it was so radical.
Mm.
That's why he drew so many people. He was just trying to have a conversation with his disciple. But this new person who wasn't flashy, didn't have all of the things that the priest had, the hats and the frills and the fringes, the things that let them know that I am a spiritual leader and look at me. He was amongst the people saying powerful things and profound things that the religious leaders didn't say and how they said it. So they drew into him. Who is this person saying these wonderful words, these powerful words in such a commanding way? And for us today as leaders and people who are on mission fields and in the trenches, there should be a confidence spirit by what Christ has done on earth to say, I'm going into my neighborhoods, I'm where I am, the markets, at the malls, wherever I go, there should be a confidence in me that speaks the truth that Christ showed us in the word, that speaks against evil and against malice and against the things that are going on in our world. We should have that confidence and that radical divine drive that God has called us to, by his example, to say, what I speak in this context, in this modern age, should still have that fire, that electricity, and that requires us being willing to say, help me say this in a way that will speak to my generation today with the same fire that Christ did when he was on this earth.
Yeah, I agree. You talked about the birds, you talked about the lilies. He was talking about all those different things. And it made me think about, you know, why do we worry so much about how we look, where our next food is coming from, what kind of restaurant we need to go to, what kind of food we need? Why do we put the whole focus on these external things, and we worry so much about, you know, what is the next thing that we have to do, without us happening to focus on, you know, Christ himself? My question to you now is, for young people, not even the young adults, go even younger, how do we talk to them about being focused upon Christ when their focus is so much of the world stuff, because the world pushes so much stuff at them? How can we help them to understand that, you know what, this is what you need to focus on, not the clothes, not this, this is what you need to focus on? How do we talk to them about that?
At this stage of life right now, that's one of the biggest mountains the church has to overcome right now. And it's not going to get any easier, only because look at what we're battling against. We're in a technological age, and everything is access at the drop of a dime. And then you have, you know, that's hardware, and then you have software that goes with it. So you have apps and programs and social media. And years ago, you couldn't watch TV on your cell phone. And now statistics are showing that tablets and computers and phones are just as used when you're watching media as the traditional television.
Exactly.
And so everything is accessed. Everything is available. And once you get a phone in your hand, let's just take that as an example. It opens up a world that you are immersed in, and you go to a restaurant, go to a basketball game, go to the mall, go to the park. You're going to see this.
That's it.
And that's drawing you in. So if we're just talking youth and we're talking just technology and how that it can pull and draw you in. And then you get into a topic of you know, focus on Christ and focus on the word. That's so archaic now for a world that is this. And so it's a battle that the church has to consider. There has to be a new approach to how can we reach anyone. You know, we can say the youth, but this goes across demographics. How can we reach anyone to say, despite what's going on in the world, and we can go past technology to just life itself that constantly pulls at our emotional, physical, spiritual, it pulls at our being to say we want it. How do we draw them into another space to say we have to be at the feet of Christ. We have to spend time. We have to draw into his presence. It almost seems like it's going in two different directions. Yeah. And you just, it's as life goes, it's just Christ, his way, principles, heaven, you know, going, you know, spending eternity with him, and marriage, home, business, the world, entertainment, this and that. And it's just going in two different directions. And as life goes on, so I can't say I have the answer to that. Okay. What I can say is the church, as well as families, as well as an individual who understands it and sees it, can't give up. We can't give up on continuing to keep the dialogue open to say, we still have to trust Christ. We still have to believe. We have to worship. We have to praise. We have to study. We have to say that, and then connect with the youth who understand to say, what can we do to speak to your generation? You know, there's some young people coming up who are for Christ, who God is seeding in them creativity and ideas to say, here's Merge. I mean, look at that, for example. That movement right there is something that is a breath of fresh air for me to see, wow, okay, young adults coming together and young professionals doing things together. A movement that is fresh, that can draw someone in to say, hey, I'm on the success. I'm in clause B right now, but you're drawing to clause A.
Yeah,
you know, so, you know, there just has to be a desire to keep chomping at the bits, keep hitting at the wall and saying we can't stop the conversation. We have to keep it going, but we have to trust that God is working it out and helping us do that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 6:33 is a passage that we all recite all the time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like when you were saying it and I was actually reading it again, I was like, oh, I missed it. Seek ye first. Why do we're just not doing it first? We think that we might be doing it first when we do the quick devotional in the morning because we done do it and we do the stuff in the evening. But how deep of a first, putting everything first, do we really need to go?
I think it's similar to when Paul says, pray without ceasing, in the sense that it's not that every minute of the day you're in prayer and you're trying to work and you're like, hey, I'm praying without ceasing. That's not the idea. The idea is always have prayer on your mind. Always have prayer as a tool and use it and continue to use it. And I think seeking first, it can be confusing or we can think that seeking first the kingdom means when you wake up in the morning, you know, you spend 5 minutes reading a text, a prayer, and then, well, sought God first. And there can be some misconception in that. There's a more central theme there to say that what I'm doing is, when I say I'm seeking God first, I am putting everything that I desire to do, even in just one day, at the feet of God.
Mm.
My decisions are going to be under by what I understand in the word. Yes, I mean, Jesus did it. He went aside and he spent time early in the morning in prayer and supplication. That's a great example. But he also throughout the day lived a life that was kingdom principle. And so, you know, he didn't leave his kingdom desires at Mount Olive early in the morning. That just got him, that kickstarted him. But it was a life lived, seeing things in a kingdom way. And so you go to work and there's tension with a coworker. And you want to respond a certain way, but you're kingdom principled. So it's activated in that moment. So I'm building for the kingdom, because what I really want to say to you is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I'm building for the kingdom. And so it goes throughout the day. And I think the seeking first is your first decision. That your first action is, how does this affect the kingdom? How does this please God? I want to say something to her, but I know that it goes against what God wants. That's seeking the kingdom first. My fleshly decision didn't rise up and do what it wanted to do. I sought God first in that situation. And based on what I know of the kingdom, I shouldn't respond to her that way. And so I'll respond in love, because that's what the kingdom wants me to do. And that's seeking the kingdom first. So every decision always has the kingdom principles thought about first before the earthly. And that's that can quell the concept of, I woke up this morning and prayed, but at 12 o'clock I cursed out my coworker. And then we've dropped the ball.
Yeah. So as we're wrapping up now, how can we keep on the balance between A and B? How do we keep that balance so that we can keep with Christ continually and then allow him to lead us in the way that he wants us to lead, to go?
I think with what God showed me in the message was, and I say this with, you know, carefully. I'm not saying that it's not balanced. I'm saying that in order to build for the kingdom and build for the success, I saw the tension in it being something that it had simultaneous action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that simultaneous action, I saw some issue there. Mm-hmm. Because it's, well, I'm trying to do this while I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the balance comes in when we just rest in the kingdom, because it's oftentimes when I'm in clause A, when I'm in the kingdom principles and I'm hearing God clearly, he's telling me what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to work on this. You need to do this. But I'm in his presence and I'm worshiping but he's planting seed. And I'll give you an example. At my hospital, I do devotionals every day for the interdisciplinary team. So all the departments, the leaders come together and they're like sermons every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when I'm kind of pushed for time and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to talk about today? Trying to grab some inspiration. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But on another level, when I find myself just in prayer, in the word, he drops, say this Monday, say this Tuesday.
Wow.
You should talk about this. You should talk about this. Yeah. And it's like, wow, So the times when I'm in my, when I'm trying to work it out, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what do I, and it gets stressful. But when I spend time or I'm listening to a word and I'm just, I'm gravitating, what is the speaker saying in or praying, or I'm in worship, I hear a song, I'm just in that meditative, he's just dropping it. Talk about this, talk about that. And it's being in the presence of God, being in that cause A, that he's working out what you, he could be telling you, do this, you should call here, you know, try again. This business told you you're trying to get some financing and they told you no, call them again. But you're hearing it in cause A.
Cause A, yeah.
Right. But it's helping you in your six, you drive for earthly success. You need to study. You're in school and you're working, but you're in prayer. Lord, help me. Have your music playing. He's saying, maybe you should study this or get a study group together or whatever it is. But you're getting those answers. And that goes against what we feel as humans, as humanities. It's how do I do better in my grades? I got to work on this. I got to study more. I got to stay up late. And that's not the answer. That's that you may get somewhere here and there, but this is where the fulfillment of the or what God is asking you, the fulfillment, the understanding, the peace comes and you hear God and instruct and quarterback what you need to do. It totally goes against how we see life, but it's understanding the spiritual and the natural realm. And oftentimes we're in the physical, in the flesh, trying to work it out. Yeah. When God is saying, just come to me. I'll give you the nuggets. I'll give you the plan. I'll seed it in you. Just do away with the distractions and hear me. And so the balance, you know, I am trying my best to follow and practice what I preach and say, I need to stay in cause A. I need to stay in kingdom principle, kingdom mindset with my wife, as a father, as a chaplain, as a brother, as a son, as a human. I want to be in line with the kingdom principles, which means I have to constantly stay within what the kingdom asks me to do. And I believe that as I do that, he'll continue to share with me the revelations that I need to be successful in what God has me to do. That's my belief.
So this is my last question for you. Listening to you speaking, maybe someone will say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to do that. That's part of your mission. That's part of what your job is. How do I do that practically day by day in my world?
It's going to, I believe, when you care, I'm someone who loves like technology. I have keyboards, I have electronics, phones, gaming consoles. I love technology. My son had a water bottle near one of my computers. And I rushed over and quickly told him, son, listen, you never keep water around electronics. And he's like, okay, daddy. I said, you have to remember that. I say that because I care about the things, my computers. I care about their... Exactly. You know, their function. If I need to sell them, I want them to be functional.
Right.
So the things that you care about are the things that you're going to work towards. And for someone who cares about their soul salvation, the step needs to be taken by the individual. I can't make anybody stay in cause A. I can't make anybody grab a hold of the beautiful, wonderful message of the kingdom. There has to be an onus on the person to say, I care about my soul and I want to do something. And it may sound like it's easy for the preacher, but it's not. It's easy for the pastor, the chaplain, but the struggle is still there for each and every person. Mm-hmm. It's caring about your soul salvation. There are pastors and chaplains and leaders who are so busy doing the work of the Lord that they have no relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so even in walking in the calling of God as a spiritual leader, there still has to be an onus on the heart that says, I care about my soul. Mm-hmm. And so I want to make sure that I'm doing that. My exhortation to anyone who, you know, wants to be awakened in this area is to grab a hold of what you're doing. Take some time to just stop, turn everything off that distracts you, and just have heart-to-heart moment with God. And see what births out of that, because I could say this all day and it won't affect anyone unless the Spirit grabs a hold of them in their heart. So take a hold of your soul salvation. It's your responsibility. There are people who are there. This podcast is here to encourage and motivate that interaction, but it's going to require someone saying, I'm sick and tired of being where I am. I need something more. And God is just having His arms open saying, I'm right here.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor. That was very enlightening. It really did bless me. Seeing that struggle, seeing that, realizing that we have to have that relationship with Christ is so very important for us, just to stay with Him and to listen to His voice. That's the double thing. I know I definitely deal with that all the time. So thank you again. Can you end us with a word of prayer, please?
Absolutely. Holy God, we thank you always for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for just seeing us and calling us into your glorious light. We ask right now that your presence will be with us, that your presence will remain with us, and that you will take us where we need to go. Such a powerful topic about building for the kingdom and building for success and what you desire out of it all. We pray that your Spirit will move those who are struggling in this area, that your desire to call us to the kingdom way, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We pray that you are drawing us to you, and help us to stay in your will and in your way. We thank you for this podcast. We pray for this ministry. We pray for the church. We pray that they will continue to find avenues to reach others. And we will thank you right now in advance for the victory that we all will receive when we place our care, our intentions, our aspirations in your hands, and let you work things out for our good. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you again, Pastor, for being with us and your amazing message. And to all our podcast listeners, we thank you for listening. Remember to always subscribe and to share your podcast with everyone that you meet. And may you all have a wonderful week. Thank you again, and take care until next time. Bye.